Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. The Bible says the memory of the just ought to last 1,000 generations. Somebody ought to know you are here. You ought to be making a difference in somebody's life, not be a pain in somebody's life. You know, when you get married, you marry your opposite. That's why you got to learn to talk. If you don't talk, you're griping, screaming, and cussing. Well, you're just like your mother. You're just like your father. Don't talk about my father. Don't talk about my mother. Shut up. You shut up. And that's two people who are in love. I always took my high school seniors to divorce court every year on a field trip. We're going to divorce court today. You're going to love it. Then we're going to go to McDonald's. It's going to be great. So we're going to go down, and this year, what you're going to see, there are two people at one time before God and witness swore their undying love. I love you. I love you. And that's who you're going to see today. And today you're going to have every nasty, foul, damned old four-letter word you've ever heard in your life spoke between two people who at one time before God and witness swore their undying love. What happened? They didn't know marriage is something you build, not something you find. You'll be building it the rest of your life. Jesus didn't find a church. Jesus built a church. It cost him his life to build a church. I will build my church out of thumb-sucking, hell-bound sinners, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. It's no different. You don't find a church, you build a church. You don't find a nation, you build a nation. People are got lazy in America. They want to blame. President's fault, and Congress fault, and sin's fault, and boss's fault, my mother's fault, my daddy's fault, my teacher's fault, my coach's fault, my sister, my Nancy. If it wasn't for everybody else, I ain't doing good. You thumb sucker, bless your heart. You're not going to be eating at the marriage supper. We're going to have you at a card table with a chicken leg around your neck. I guarantee you. So I went to and I found all the scriptures. Psalm 112 promised, if I fear God, and I prayed every day, Psalm 34:11, Father, I ask you, you promise it. Come to me, children, I will teach you the fear of God. Every day I ask, Father, teach me and my family to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. With that wisdom, Proverbs 3:16 comes long life, riches, and honor. What do you want for your children? Long life, riches, and honor. I said, if Jesus tarries, you're coming to my funeral, I'm not coming to yours. I'm praying for long life for you. Riches, I'm not going to write you checks forever. Eventually, you're going to write me checks. Parents, lay up for the children. Children, lay up for the parents. You owe us good measure. Press it down, check it together, running over. You owe us. I've told my kids, I'm going to chase you down. We birthed you, bathed you, we dressed you, we fixed your crooked teeth that God gave you. We got you through school. Man, we paid for your college. We paid for your wedding. I got your first car. You owe us. And so people laugh, and I'm very serious. I've told all six of my kids, you can ask me. You call Tulsa and ask my kids. Don't you ever buy anything for Denise now that fits in a box. We can go to Walmart on our own. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. I've told my kids, you owe us. Now, we love you, and we've given our life. We paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for you. You owe us. And so if you ever get us anything, you either drive it up the driveway, or it better be two tickets for a cruise somewhere. We've been on two cruises already. My kids have done good. I said, you don't need to get us something for Christmas or birthday anniversary. Just save up for 10 years and then drive it up the driveway because you owe us. And so I realized something. I want my children to be successful. Success comes from one place, the Word of God. Fear God, delight in His commandments. Joshua 1:8, same thing. If you meditate in the Word day and night, then you'll prosper and have good success. 3 John 2, Joshua 1:8 says the same thing. If you meditate in the Word, you'll prosper and have good success. Psalms 90, verse 12, meditate in the Word of God, prosper and have good success. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, if you meditate in the Word of God, prosper and good success. It's a good success. Where's success come from? You got to get your face in the book. I got to put your face. You got to be in a great local church. Everything outside the body of Christ is dying, people. No two of us are the same. We're all different in here. There's no two thumbprints the same, no two voice prints the same. God's a creative God. I need you and you need me. You ever meet a human and say, I don't need anybody. That's a thumb-sucking five-year-old liar. You need everybody. God made you that way. We were laughing back in the room back there. I used to collect National Geographic films from high school students just to show them how creative God was. You know, God made a baboon with a fluorescent pink rump. Did that on purpose. Shh, there you go, son. You'll stand out. Go on. God bless. God made a bombardier beetle. I love a bombardier beetle. It's in, got to go to Brazil to find it. It loves wheatgrass. Bombardier beetle climb wheatgrass and eat those little kernels. And so he's got two eyeballs in his head. He's set up real high like little turrets. One can look forward, one can look back. When he eats the wheatgrass, it produces gas in it. Got two cylinders in his rump. I'm not making this up. National Geographic. So all of a sudden, Praying Mantis sees the Bombardier Beetle. So they got a feeling the Praying Mantis is going to come up and get him some lunch. Going to eat the Bombardier Beetle. Bombardier Beetle just relaxed and got that eyeball looking one way alone. And right before the Bombardier Beetle bites down on that rump of that, the Praying Mantis bites down on that Bombardier Beetle's rump, he lets out gas. And two cylinders at the same time. And what it does, it produces a 4-inch flame. And the Praying Mantis's head just disappeared. Now, I'm telling you that because God thought that up. Now, listen, guys, we've had things happen like every family. We've had a baby, and my 18-month-old middle child that runs my publishing company just fell over one Sunday morning before we went to church unconscious, running a high fever. We got her to the hospital, found out she had spinal meningitis. My wonderful Christian doctor said I gave her a 50-50 chance of living. 10 days in intensive care. She's not going to die, but she's going to be mentally retarded. 2 days, she's not going to be mentally retarded, but she's going to be totally deaf. 2 days, she can hear. For 10 days, they tried to find something wrong. My baby came home, and she's alive and well. She can hear you whisper upstairs. She runs my publishing company. Hell comes to everybody. I had a drunk driver run a stoplight one night, hit my two daughters head on. They happened to have my pastor's daughter in the back seat. Went up the front of that car, down the back, totaled that car. There wasn't a scratch on any three of those kids. Hell makes a run at everybody. My wife got an infected toe about a year ago, and they were going to amputate it. We just went in to get a penicillin shot and said, no, we need to cut that off. No, she came with 10 toes. We'd like to keep all of them. I never thought much about the toe, but we would like to keep it. Well, it was 6 weeks on antibiotics, had to run a tube in her arm, up around her neck, down into her heart, drip, drip, drip. We're bleeding God, pleading the blood, asked for agreement and prayer, you know. And so 6 weeks later, we go in, and toe's looking a lot better. It's just not skanky looking anymore, like some in a science fiction movie. And it's shrunk down, it's not old black and all pussy, and so now it's kind of looking pink, looking good. So the guy said, well, we need to do another 6 weeks. And we got home, and he said, I don't want to do this again. We need to get this done now. So we go back in the next day. The doctor looks at it again and said, I think we're good. I think you're good. So we'll take the IV out, and so we're fine. Now, I can share all day long. We got a big family. Hell makes a run at everybody. Which you better get settled is who you are in Christ. If hell made a run at Jesus, hell made a run at Paul, hell made a run at Peter. They didn't do anything wrong. What did they do? They were born. Some people don't even make it out of their mother's womb. Hell hates everybody. The devil's an equal opportunity hater. He's a murderer, a thief, and a liar. Give him no place, Jesus said. So what do you get to do? I get to believe God, overcome, get knocked down, you get back up. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day, they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. Well, I'm not going to church full of hypocrites. No, it's full of sinners that have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. My God, we got our made. And so here we come, and I realize, my kids, I want you to go out and be successful in life. You know, I want you to succeed. So I got all the scriptures. And finally, I thought, well, you're not getting them. I said, I bought them all a 1-year Bible. You read your Bible? No. You read your Bible? No. You got to read your Bible. Why don't you read your Bible? Well, I had a science fair project. Well, forget the science fair project. Read your Bible. You read your Bible? Dad, we had a basketball tournament. Well, shut up. Read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. And I realized, I love my kids. We've been in church since they've been born. They were born again real early, water baptized, some of them 3 or 4 times. We just kept dunking. I said, you got to get the word of God in you. You got to get the word of God in you, guys. The devil's not afraid of you. He's afraid of Christ in you in the form of the written word of God. You got to get the word of God in you. And so all of a sudden, one night I got mad. So we came home after church on Sunday night. I said, okay, new command. I'm going to try reverse psychology. I command you to not ever read your Bible again. Just don't read it. I've been telling you to read it your whole life. You won't do it. So I'm never going to buy you another Bible. If you ever own another Bible till Jesus comes, you're going to buy it yourself, because I'm not wasting money on another Bible. You're going to have to buy your own. But you do need the word of God. So we're going to have to come up with something simple, because everything is too complicated. I said, you know, I tried to get you to read the book of John. Just read John. You choked on that. Well, okay, let's go to Proverbs. Just read a proverb and you choked on that. Then I took you to Revelation. That'll just scare the snot out of them. That'll make you read the rest of it. You choked on that. So let's do this. I had 3 to 5 cards I got at Walgreens. I found all several hundred scriptures that have 3 things, faith, hope, and love, spirit, soul, and body. If I had 3 things, I put it in there. The Bible says in the mouth 2 or 3 witnesses, the thing is established. So I got this card. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a card. It's got 3 things. We're going to start with the book of Jude, verse 20. It talks about in the last days, all the skanky things are going to be happening. He says, but you, my beloved brethren, need to do 3 things. Number one, build up yourself in your most holy faith. Without faith, you don't please God. Without faith, you don't whip the devil. Number two, I need you to pray. I need you to pray in the spirit. You need to pray all the time. Man, pray when you get up. Pray when you walk. And you just pray all the time. Number three, I need you to walk in love. So I gave them all 3 by 5 cards. Okay, we're just going to do, there's 3 things, but I don't want to overwhelm you. I just want you to do 1 of these 3 this week. I'm going to give you 7 days just to do 1 of the 3. And you don't have to do them every day. Just pick one day to do 1 thing. Simplify. Simplify. Jesus took the whole Old Testament and said, I'll tell you, I need you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second commandment, I need you to love your neighbors, you love yourself. The entire law is summed up in those 2 statements. Jesus loves to simplify complicated issues. So, well, we're going to do this first one, building yourself with holy faith. Well, we can just take your pencil and draw a line through that, because none of you read your Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we can scratch that one right now. You're never going to have any faith, so just chunk that right now. Number two, pray. John, do you pray? What? Do you pray? When? Like now? Well, you're right now? Yeah, pray right now. For what? I don't care. Come up with something. You got anything going on? Pray. Do we need to bow our heads? No, keep your eyes open. I believe in watching pray. Let's watch and pray. Give us something. Well, I'm not going to pray. You don't pray. Tessa, you're going to pray. Pray something. What? I don't know, babe. It's your life. Pray for something. Well, I'm not doing it. You're a liar. You don't pray. Okay, scratch that one. No prayer, no faith. So we're down to walking in love. Very God. Well, what if we don't love everybody? I didn't say like, I said love. Love's what you do for somebody, not what you feel about them. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, with no guarantee we would love him back. That's good. A marriage is a funeral. Hallmark's got the cards all wrong. It should say, I'm so sorry, I heard you got married. Because a marriage is a covenant. If you don't dot that covenant ceremony, you're a half-dead, smelly zombie. Because you're promised before God and with till from this day forward, from this day, I'm living my life for them. It's a ceremony. It's a covenant. You can't have a covenant unless somebody dies. If you don't dot that marriage ceremony, what about me? When did I get, and I don't, and I, you're dead. Shut up. You don't have money, right? Where's the certificate at? Let's look at it. See there? You got married. You're dead. Shut up. You're going to spend the rest of your life living for them. Woo. Yeah, that'll make you want to go out and pucker up on. I said, I need you to walk in love. That means help somebody. Tomorrow, if you're walking down the hallway at school and your buddy drops a pencil and they don't see it, pick it up and hand it back to them. Help somebody. If you all of a sudden down to your locker, some kid's locker just falls out all over the floor, bend over and help him pick it back up and put it in. If you're eating lunch tomorrow, you notice your neighbor doesn't have a lunch because they're poor and they can't afford one. Share yours. You could lose some weight. Now, I'm cleaning this up a lot. It was much uglier than this. So anyhow, I brought him back in the next Sunday. I said, okay, how was it? So, well, I read my Bible every day. Come on, we got some strength going on. What about you? I prayed every morning. Whoa, who knows? Angels are flapping wings. Who knows what's about to happen? What about you? He said, well, I shared my lunch twice this week. I said, you look like you lost some weight. You're looking good. Now, I had a new scripture every week for several years. And finally, it began to kick in. Dad, where'd you get that scripture? In the Bible. Where in the Bible? Well, what's the name of it? Habakkuk. You mean Habakkuk? Yeah, look it up. What page is it on? It's in your index. Look it up. I'm not reading for you anymore. And I'll be honest, today my kids, they're not perfect. I don't have perfect kids, but they're a Bible reading, praying, church attending, tithing bunch of folks. So if you're not hooked up to God, hell's going to run up your backside. It's trying to make a run anyhow, but you need strength. It only comes from God. I want to create problem solvers. Give you this one. I'm out of time. Give you this one story. Corey. I hated the grocery store when I had kids. My wife knows I'm trying to train kids. It's what I do for a living. Well, I got six of my own. And sometimes I would just sin and back up. We go to the grocery. I hate the grocery store because the grocery store is a two-cart shopping deal. We got a big family. There's eight of us. And I hated the cereal aisle. That's the valley of the shadow of death. You walk down the cereal aisle, hell's going to erupt somewhere. So I tell them, one box. You get together, get one box of cereal. We have time to get down the aisle. It's just, when I grew up, we had cornflakes, Cheerios, and shredded wheat. That was it. Unless you got oatmeal. It wasn't that complicated. Well, now we got every shape and size you can imagine. So I'd get out of the cereal aisle. They'd each have a box. Put it back. Get the oatmeal. I'd rather have oatmeal anyhow. 2 weeks later, we're pulling up in front of the grocery store, and we're about to get Joe, before we get out. Joe, what are we doing about cereal? I'm not doing nothing. We're eating oatmeal until Jesus comes. It's better for you now. No, Joe, you talk about training kids. You do it. Let's practice it. So I look over the back seat, and I'm so mad. I said, okay, anybody got any paper back there? Give me a piece of paper. Tear it up 6 pieces. Everybody put your name on a piece of paper and fold it up. Give me that nasty cup down there. Get that stuff out of it. Put your name in there. And I shook it up. Draw a name. First one was Corey. You're number one. I kept drawing names. John was number six. So John opened, he's my youngest. He's my only boy. He says, what's this mean? That means you're not eating Cocoa Puffs for 6 weeks. That's what that means. Corey's number one. She picks the cereal. Well, Corey loved Cheerios. Not Honey Nut, just plain skanky Cheerios. So we're coming. We're checking out. Corey's hugging that big box of Cheerios. I look over at Tessa. It's my third daughter. She's crying. I got to, what's wrong with you? I don't like Cheerios. Me neither. Tell you what, why don't you fast for a week? If you'll fast, we can stretch this box for 2 weeks. Or maybe you'd like to use your faith to choke these skanky things down, because the sooner they're gone, the sooner we're getting to Apple Jacks. So Denise would set the table every night before we went to bed. So we get up the next morning. And so we got the cereal bowls out. So they're coming in and doing the Cheerio things. And, you know, we're eating. All of a sudden, my son's coming. Now, I only got one male. I've got five girls and boys. So John's coming to the table. And he's got a big Tupperware bowl. Now, we got real nice cereal bowls already on the table. Denise always presets the table. He's got a big Tupperware bowl. Denise says, John, what are you doing? Oh, no, wait. We got some testosterone in the house. Let's see what's happening. So John sets that big Tupperware bowl down. And, buddy, he pours about a third of a box of Cheerios in there. Come on. I got me a male. Let's get her done. And so pours about a fourth of a gallon of milk. And so, man, come on. So the girl said, what's he doing? Shut up. We got a man in the house. He's doing something, getting it done. So we finished eating. We got to go to school. Okay, everybody up. Got to go to school. Let's go, let's go. And I go. So I kissed Denise bow. I'm leaving the kitchen room, going throughout the hallway. I look back and I saw John's bowl. It's still full of cereal. I thought, you little no good North End hunk. You're trying to fake me off. I told Denise, you put a lid on that. You put that in the refrigerator. Joe, you can't. I'll pre-soak a bowl tonight. Put it in the refrigerator. He's not getting away with this. I forgot about it. The next morning we get up. Denise has the bowls. We're eating Cheerios. Here comes John with another big empty Tupperware bowl. Oh, son, we got you, buddy. I got you covered. Put that back. We got you. So I went in the refrigerator and got that bowl, and I set it down in front of him. Now, you got to be old to remember Tupperware. But, man, it seals good. So I set that big bowl, and I popped that lid and went, psh. I opened it up. Looks like somebody's puking that bowl, man. No Cheerios are slow. And I said, son, I recommend you eat them today because they're going to be worse tomorrow. Well, he's trying to eat them, and he's spitting them out. And he's crying because they're so skanky and snot's running down his face and tears. I said, wipe it up, you're eating every bit of it. Just, Nate, shut up, Nate, you're going to eat every bit of it. So finally, John, he's trying to choke him down, he can't. So about 5 minutes, he said, may I be excused? Fine, put a lid on them, soak them the next Sunday. I don't care, you put them back in the Sunday. So he goes out, and we got double French doors in our kitchen, and I can see the reflection where he's going in the refrigerator. So I'm setting the bowl down on the kitchen counter. The refrigerator door opened up and closed, and that bowl's still sitting there, and I can see it. So you better not pour that out. I'm going to bust you 7 ways. I'm saying, what are you doing? All of a sudden, I saw him take the top off the blender and pour all the Cheerios in the blender. Blah, 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 blah. Then I saw what he got out of the refrigerator. He got the Hershey syrup. So he put it on. Put the lid on. Poured her out and drank her down. I said, my God, I've raised a genius. I've raised me a genius. You're not trying to avoid problems in life. You're trying to solve them. We are a problem-solving, hell-fighting group of people.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.